Curiosity.
What are you so curious about?
Everything.
Mr. Curiosity.
All right, folks, while our special guest gets ready, I want to start talking already because...
Let me just...
No. I like hearing the heaving. He's heaving himself up.
That's what you do at this age. You heave. You heave and you hope you hit the target. That's what it is.
Folks, he's heaving into the podcast. I am Mr. Curiosity. Sean, what episode is this?
This is 22.
Is it really 22?
Holy moly.
Yeah, 22.
See?
Already.
And maybe 22 is the magic number for our new guest today.
Well.
And that is the great Vin Sweeney.
Well,
dun 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 dun.
I was expecting something live with horns. I'm sorry, I didn't know where.
Bring in the trombone player.
Oh, no.
So, Vince, before you go on, I just want to let you know a couple things because you may have not heard any. You see this bell right here?
I do.
I tend to be loose cannon-ish at times. So if I say something, if I say something you don't want me to say, you don't want to answer, you just go and I
Is
shut
that
up.
True?
Yeah, that's it. That's the shut up Snedeker bell. Are you ready?
Well, there we go. I just blew my nose.
See, that's the beauty of podcasting. He comes in, he's blowing his nose, he's dropping his Altoids. It's real.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has the bell in one hand.
I want to make sure I don't have to go tinkle. And, hey, it's a long ride. Took me 25 minutes to get here.
And, well, two things I want to say about that. As for the tinkle, I know the feeling because,
yes,
like
did.
I said,
You're
I'm 53
me.
Years old and my prostate's a little swollen like most guys.
Well, it gets that way, you know? It happens. It's an aging thing.
That's right.
That's just the beginning of a joke.
Oh, don't tell
just
me.
Just the
rather,
beginning.
It doesn't
get better. Trust me, I know.
I'd rather not know, but I want to say Vince and I were a little late on the podcast schedule because we scheduled this a week ago.
Yes.
And I'm surprised. I can't wait to hear the answer to this. Vince then texted me and said, ice in the driveway, can't get out.
Well, here's what happens. We have a lovely little house in a nice neighborhood, but our driveway is pitched. And when I say pitched, I mean it's pitched downward from street level to back to the end of the driveway. And it's in a spot with a tree line and all where no sun hits it. So no matter how much we shovel and plow and salt and treat, so it will sooner or later, within 12 hours, ice all over again. And it's sometimes impossible to get out. And there's also the risk of me falling down and breaking something.
Yep. Here's the age thing again,
and
right?
I don't want to do that, you know.
Yeah.
I went down one day out there and had to call Carol at work and come home and scrape me up off the driveway. So we're not going to do that.
But when you're iced in, you feel like a prisoner? That's
I
how
do.
I feel. Yeah,
I
me
hate
too.
It.
I hate it.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
happens to me. And whenever there's a snow event, even if it's just I'm stuck in my house for a half a day or a day, I hate it. And then you get these people, I love the snow. It's so pretty. And I'm like,
No, I'm not one of those people. You don't have to worry about that. I mean, it's pretty, yes, but it completely immobilizes you.
Yeah, that's what it does to my life.
I get locked in the house. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. Because I have a bad knee, might as well say it, and I could fall.
Yeah.
And I don't want to fall, all right?
Now you're the old guy with the knee and hip problems, right?
There it is. This is it's all part of it. I'm telling you, it's on the way, Joe. Just be patient. It's coming. The same goes for you, Sean. You're not getting away with
it. Yeah, Sean, you're in this, though, all right?
You'll get it.
If you're lucky, as they say, right?
If you're lucky to live long enough,
sure beats dying young. Well, I wanted to start with Vince's mom delivering you. That's what I want to start with. When did that happen?
That was good because I was there, so it gives us something to work with. When did it happen?
You were sure you were there?
Yeah, she told me I was.
Okay.
You know, well, she also told me some other things.
You were actually there you were actually there even 9 months before then.
I was waiting.
Yeah.
And, I have these oddball memories that I can't explain that I believe were of being in the delivery room. I think I remember some things about my own birth.
Get out of here.
Is that insane? But I think I do.
Did you ever research that? Is it neurologically possible?
Yeah, it is, apparently, from I can see, yeah. But I never went very far with it, but I have these images.
What is it, hot and moist?
Actually, it was like tiled walls, you might see, you know, in a medical facility in a...
I was thinking too internal.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, you were.
I don't remember the womb. Okay. I don't remember that.
What year are we talking about?
1950.
50?
1950.
Whoa.
I'm 69. I'll be 70. Oh, that's painful.
I ask the age not to be in any way rude, but I need to reference it because your life is a part of my life, especially, you know, during the 80s. That's why I need to know these things, like where Vince was versus where I was. So you're born a local guy? Parents from here?
Yeah, I was my parents, my mother. Well, actually, my mother is originally, she was born in Wales and came here as a young child. Yeah. Yeah, and so, and then my father, both of his grandparents were from overseas. My grandfather, paternal, was born in Ireland, and my paternal grandmother was born in England. So all of my none of my grandparents were born in the United States.
Wow.
They're all from the old country,
yeah.
As I used to hear growing up. They'd mention the old country, and I tried to envision, what does the old country look like? Dinosaurs? What are we talking here?
Yeah.
I could never quite grasp the old country, but that's true. And so they were all immigrants and all lovely people. And
why did they come here? The old mine story?
Yeah, well, they came here to get away from that stuff,
right.
At least on the Welsh side, because my grandfather in Wales was a miner in South Wales, where if you know history here, you'll find that some of the earliest miners were from South Wales because they already had the skill to mine coal. So they came here and found good jobs. And eventually they found jobs as foremen and managers and supervisors. The Welsh did before any of the other ethnic groups did. So he came here to get out of the mines, and he ended up back in the mines.
And that was where, Luzerne County?
He couldn't find anything else. No, he was they were from Scranton and Kaiser Valley. It's where they lived.
Is that right?
On Newton Road, for those who know that area up there. Yeah. You know Newton Road?
Not really. No,
okay.
I do not know.
Well, it's the back road.
I've had fig Newtons.
They may be related somehow, but you know what? Honestly, I doubt it. Newton Township is probably where the name comes from.
Newton Ransom, all that's tied
right,
in,
exactly.
Sure.
The road from Kaiser Valley goes up to Newton Ransom. And so they grew up back there. Her father didn't want to go in the mines, but eventually he did.
How about your dad? Is he a miner guy?
No. On my father's side of the family.
Big shot. He's a big shot.
We had no miners. My grandfather, who came from Ireland, I'm a little froggy here. Had
we got two beautiful waters for him.
I'm going to take
I found
a big
them around
any time now. he told me many times when I was a kid, when I'd sit and chat with him, he's a great guy. He would tell story. He was a wonderful storyteller. And he used to tell me that when he came here from Ireland, he swore that he'd never go to work in a mine.
And this is your grandfather.
My grandfather, your Sweeney.
But why? What's his reasoning?
Well,
meaning it's a horrible lifestyle. Meaning I'm here in the New World to start big and do better for myself.
Yeah, and not working a hole in the ground. Because let's face it, mining was a... Can you imagine? I can't.
Right, but the perspective I try to get from the people who tell me that they're just lucky to have a job to and they were thrilled to come here in the mines. I could be way off, but I
think you're right, but he had the motivation to find something different.
Yeah.
And I can only assume that he guessed that mining jobs weren't the only jobs here.
Right.
Because everything else was going. You had, you know, all kinds of merchant type businesses. And so he ended up, he did a number of different things. He actually worked on a construction crew that built what is now the Scranton Prep Building on Wyoming Avenue. Yeah, he worked on that for a time. And he actually told me he got offered a job at one time driving a team of mules in the mines and turned it down. And then they said, well, how about driving a team of mules on the outside? And he said, no, he just wouldn't go near a coal mine, and he never did.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
so he comes here anti-coal miner.
Yeah, he did, absolutely. Well, now that's a story, too, that I could tell you quick. He wasn't coming here. He was on his way to Peoria, Illinois.
Get out of here.
Where the chief of police was his namesake, Patrick Sweeney. And he was on his way.
Say no more. He was interrupted by a woman.
Well, wouldn't that sound right, though?
Okay.
That would be the story
what else would
of
hold
my
a man?
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else would stop a man in his
He only had enough cash to get here.
Get out.
So, you know, he took the train. I'm assuming he got on the Lackawanna Railroad. And he had enough money at that point in time to get to Scranton. So he came to Scranton and wound up finding work. He stayed. And he lived his entire life here, raised a family of six children, and did very well. Had a white-collar job almost all his life. He was an insurance investigator when he retired, and he did very well. And he was a wonderful man. I gotta tell you that much. He was a great guy.
But this is the beauty of stuff like this. So here's a guy whose wallet ran dry, and now you and I are sitting here.
That, but if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be.
I know. It's just weird, the universe,
yeah.
I'm telling you.
If he had gone to Peoria, there's no way, because he never would have met my mother, but you know, it wouldn't have happened.
There'd be some other weather guy on TV locally.
Yeah.
Who knows what he'd be like. And
right. Boy, it's kind of hard to get your head around it sometimes.
It is.
Yeah.
These paths of life.
So this is the way things worked for us. And
so you have all these siblings where you brought up like... hoity-toity and all this stuff. Well, I don't know. You said he did good.
No. Not hoity-toity at all. Now I'm taking a drink of water, okay?
Vince is now twisting the cap off of the water.
And?
It is now entering his outer lower lip.
Are you ready?
He is closing his eyes.
Oh, God, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes just water
is too warm because it was just sitting there. I'm wondering.
No, it's great.
Perfect.
It's Aquafina.
Would you rather that, like a Yoo-Hoo or a lemonade or a Stegmeier?
Fine.
I don't know.
Stegmeier. There's an interesting topic.
All right. So
my father's beer, for what it's worth.
Mine, too. So you have all these siblings because birth control really wasn't a thing for
Well, I didn't have that many. I had, and I still do have, gratefully, two sisters and a brother.
Oh, I thought you said the six or something.
No, that was my father's family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
And only one of them is left. And she's in Florida. All the others are gone.
Okay.
My dad died very young. He was only 59 when he died.
May I ask what?
A heart attack.
Is that right?
Yeah. And you said your dad passed away, too, I assume.
78, prostate cancer, yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
These guys, I mean, these forerunners of us, we have to learn from them.
Don't we, though?
Yeah, and then I'm not going to make this mistake or that mistake.
Yeah.
And because heart disease runs in your family, I'm sure you're on top of it.
Yeah, actually, I am. And
you got Lipitor, you got beta blockers. I'm sure you got all that.
Yeah, right. You're exactly right. And he died young. My mom lived well into her late 80s. And was very grateful for the life she had and often expressed that to us, that she was very happy for everything she had. And she was very happy that she raised four children that she felt had turned out pretty good and were happy in their lives. You know, so what else could you ask?
So you're growing up in Scranton then?
Yeah, I'm growing up.
You're going to public school guy?
No, the only time I went to public school, I went to kindergarten for public school at what was the number 28 school, Longfellow. Long gone. And I went from there, from first grade all the way through 12, and then beyond Catholic. Went to Catholic school.
So, Irish background,
Oh, no, that was a mistake.
Oh, I was just saying. He doesn't want me to say the word Irish.
No.
I thought you'd hit that at birth control.
No, I'm sorry. Nah, not at all.
They did this probably for religious reasons, right? Not because they wanted a better school or a high society upbringing.
My parents didn't have an ounce of pretense about them.
Okay.
And my family was not wealthy by anybody's standards.
So it was just they wanted that religion.
Yeah, my mother had been born and raised a Baptist. And when she married my dad... there was absolutely, I need to tell you this, and I was told it a million times, there was absolutely no pressure from any family for her to convert to Catholicism.
Ah.
She came to the conclusion all on her own.
And that's rare back then.
Yeah. But she wanted us to go to Catholic school. She wanted us to get that education.
So how many are in your graduating class?
Oh, God, 57 people.
57?
Yeah.
You're putting on the little suit every day.
Yeah.
You're being instructed by... Priests
sisters,
and sisters.
Sisters, servants of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
There you go.
I had mostly sisters, mostly nuns. Actually, all the way up through high school, there were that many sisters in the congregation that they were able to staff schools properly and completely, I guess, you know.
So when you were there, were you ever thinking, I wish I was a public school guy? Look at that's where all the cool kids are. I'm making this up. Oh, look at that's where all the chicks are. I don't know. Did you ever have any of those?
The only time you wished that maybe you were in public school is when they had a day off and you didn't. And they used to come by the school and yell, school suckers! Schools! They would. The kids from the public school would come by and stand outside the windows of St. Paul's and yell, school suckers.
Yeah.
That's right, St. Paul's, which is out in Greenridge.
Yep.
And it was, at the time, it was a grade school and it was a high school. It hasn't been a high school since the late 60s. But they would yell, school sucker. Outside of that, nah, not really. I was perfectly happy to be who I was.
So there it is in the 50s and into the 60s.
Yes.
I think you just turned 70, you said?
I'm not yet.
You're
going
to.
I've got 6 months to go.
And
yeah.
I think we talked about this before. So did you go to school with my mother-in-law also went to that school?
We've had this conversation
before. I know, but
before.
Just quickly.
Your mother-in-law,
Marianne Zumo.
Marianne Zumo lived around the corner from my family.
She's maybe three, 4 years older than
she's
you?
She's got to be at least three or four years.
Three or four.
Yeah, maybe five.
Maybe.
She's older than I am.
I might know her age, but I'm playing dumb because I don't want her to tell.
I think that's perfectly fine. I think it is. I will
she's
say.
She's somewhere close to you, but older.
Yeah, she is
just
older.
Leave it at that.
But I remember her very well.
Very well?
Mostly because she was a very beautiful woman.
Wow.
She was a very...
Still is, by the way.
And very pleasant and a very nice person. Marianne was just a great... She didn't know who I was.
All right, so you're
she
this younger guy who has these big googly eyes at this older girl.
Well, I didn't even... You know, I was like... I was not exactly smooth with the women at that point.
Right.
You know, but I used to see her around because they lived right there. And then her father... And her uncle had the store.
Yeah, the shoe store,
now
the
coffee
candy store.
Shop on Marion Street.
Zumo's.
And she'd often be in there working behind the counter.
Yes.
And I knew her, knew to say hello, knew her cousins. So a lot of her cousins were closer to my age,
right.
So I knew them. But I did, and I'm sure she has no idea who I am, but that's all right. That's, you know, fine, but she was
Yeah, you
very
were just
nice.
Some younger punk in the neighborhood.
Exactly, but she was nice.
She still is. She's a wonderful person,
yeah.
But I'm trying to set the stage for this.
I mean, she never said, hey, you, what are you looking at? Beat it. You know, no, she never said anything.
She
like
says that to me. So there you are, though. This is almost like a little Norman Rockwell scene. You know, Greenridge section of Scranton. And it's
Lower Greenridge.
But it's the 50s and 60s.
There.
You're going to church. You're going to the little candy store.
Oh, boy, is that true.
Yeah.
A lot of church. Get dragged to church all the time for everything.
Me too.
You know, certain. Oh, you went to Catholic school.
I didn't go to Catholic school, but we were injected into the Catholic program. Every week we had to go somewhere to the church.
Uh-huh.
And in the rectory, the nuns and priests would teach us all the stuff.
We used to go. There were certain months of the year that you had to go every day. One of them was May. It was the month of Mary, so you had to go to church.
And probably for the Stations of the Cross and all that, right?
Oh, boy, did I dislike that.
I know. I'd have to go to
Stations
all that, too.
Stations of the Cross every Friday during Lent after school. You get done with school at 3.
Yes, and then that.
Then you had to go across the street to the church and go through the
fell
Stations
for the
of
second
the
time, third time.
You know, no disrespect.
No, but.
To the religion
it's
that's
not
practiced
what a
or dogma.
Yes.
But it's not what you really wanted to do.
At 14,
no,
15, 16.
But we went to church. You know, you went a lot. I mean, church was just part of growing up.
And I'm glad we did it. Now
I have
back.
No problems with it. It opened my mind to a great many things. Which probably explains why I'm not quite sure what I am these days.
We're getting to that.
It's an honest answer, yeah.
So you're a senior in St. Paul's, and what are you thinking for a career? It's 1968.
Boy, it was a tough time in America, as you know. The war was raging.
Yeah.
The draft was out there staring you in the face.
Ooh.
If you didn't do something to,
that's
to
right.
Get a deferment or whatever. And I went to school. I went to the University of Scranton for 3 years and then quit. I wanted to work in broadcasting.
But why? Why that? Do you remember? I mean,
yeah, kind of.
You can remember the womb. You should be able to remember that.
I had this little headset in the womb that I would put on and I could see if I could get, you know, okay. Oh, no, there it is. I can get CKLW here. I liked radios when I was a kid. I liked, you know, minor electronics, if you will.
Okay.
I used to build crystal sets. I think I mentioned that. Not very good ones. I'm not claiming to be, you know, an engineer.
No, I do know what you mean, though. I had a lot of those kits,
too.
I loved
that
stuff. That was the thing to do, yeah.
And I was really into it, and I loved to try and see if you could pick up radio stations, and you could. And then I went on, you know, a little beyond that, where I was one of those weenies who, you know, at nighttime would take the transistor under the covers and listen. You know, you'd listen to, you know, BZ and ABC and CKLW, CFL.
Because of the lowering of the ionosphere, you can hear all these weird stations from
and
far away.
Other stations had to cut their power to protect the big ones at night so they came flying right in. So you listened to that, and you thought it was marvelous and wonderful.
There's no internet. And, there's no cell phones.
Oh,
there's
no
iPhones.
Uh-uh.
There's maybe 2-3 stations on TV, if you have a TV, one in the parlor.
Yeah.
It's black and white.
Yeah. We had one, and the first one we had was black and white, and I remember it very well. My mother, of course, she loved TV, so we had color TVs quickly. But, you know, this was something you did at night, and you listened, and you said, boy, I'd love to do that. And then you go forward a couple of years, and the interest in doing it was like, well, I don't know. My problem was I thought, well, I'd love to be a disc jockey, but I don't think I've got the skills, the talents to do that. And maybe I could work doing something else.
But why? Stop right there. Were you like a shy guy?
I was.
I was a
shy kid, yeah. I was a very shy kid when I was younger, not so much high school, but younger than that. I was, you know, painfully shy.
Is that right?
Yeah, very bashful, which is odd because my parents, both of them, my mom and my dad were very, very gregarious, very outgoing.
Yeah.
Very, very pleasant and friendly people. But I guess I just didn't bloom until I got to maybe 18, 19, 20, even if maybe beyond that. But I finally decided after, I'll tell you what actually did it. I was working in a store. You sure this isn't boring?
I'm loving it. Sean, are you bored?
The last thing I want to do is...
No, I'm not.
Sean's compelled. Sean. We're compelled.
The last thing I want to do is bore somebody.
No.
Because that's it, man. You're done when you bore them. Two things. If you bore somebody, you've lost them. If you creep somebody out, you've lost them forever.
Okay? I knew the first one. I didn't know the second
one. Yeah, that's a definite. Don't ever creep. You creep somebody out. That's it. You ain't going back, man. You've lost that person. They're never going to be friends with you. Never going to like you.
That's good to know for the dirty old men syndrome, right? Try to avoid that.
Yeah. No creeping out. That's a good one, you know. Maybe if you're boring, you can pick it up somewhere in there and say, hey, like, give me a second chance on that, will you? I won't be so boring. I'll laugh at your jokes. And I mean,
So I shall never walk around with a trench coat naked underneath. That would be creepy.
That wouldn't even cross my mind.
That would be a creeper.
At home, in the privacy of your own home, I couldn't say there's anything wrong with it, but no.
No, but I guess we're trying to figure out how you go to the U,
okay,
not finish, and then get into TV.
All right. Well, I didn't go. I got in radio is where I started. I got, like most guys in TV, or a great many guys in TV, I started off in radio.
All right. Sip number two is happening. He tilts the bottle back. Here comes the eye.
Boy, that just tastes so dang good.
Yeah.
Sure. It really does. Water. So what happens is I'm working at the time for my uncle.
While in college?
While I was going to school, I'm working for him. He owned the Scranton Hobby Center, and I'm working for him at the time. So I'm doing some retail, you know, and I'm in the store, and I'm waiting on customers.
People are buying little ribbons.
Oh,
they're buying train sets.
Oh, train sets. Big-time stuff. Which kicked off an interest in trains that I'm still passionate about to this very day. Anyway, so I was doing that and answering the phone, and a couple people said to me, boy, you have a wonderful voice on the phone. And I, well, thank you. But then I found several people saying that to me, and I thought,
get out of here.
Yeah, maybe I could get into radio. Do you think I could do that? So coincidentally with that, a broadcasting school opened in Wilkes-Barre. The American Academy of broadcasting.
No.
Yeah.
Never heard of this
thing. Yeah. They were only there maybe, I'm going to say, 3-4 years, 5 years at most.
Is this like the equivalent back then of like McCann's and places like that? I don't know.
It was strictly for broadcasting.
Oh, just broadcasting, yeah. Though. You're not learning massage or anything.
No, no. No, this was just...
I'm getting creepy again.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean, Jerry. You got to watch that, see? I'm talking about building a career. You're getting creepy about massage. Although I do enjoy a good massage.
No, those places, they offer...
A legitimate massage.
No, but they offer degrees like that. That's
oh,
all
yeah.
I'm saying. Yeah, that's
There's
why.
There's big money in it. Yeah, okay. Legitimate massage.
But this was a legitimate broadcasting school. No massage.
Well, yeah, I guess it was. For what broadcasting schools are worth, it was run by a guy out of Philadelphia who had a school there. And he expanded, and he opened a school in Wilkes-Barre in the Provincial Towers building. And what happened was the flood of 72 wiped it out.
Oh.
About a year later, he brings back the school and he's got it going. I see an ad for it. I'm thinking, maybe I should go learn more. So I call, make an appointment to go down to learn more. And this guy auditions me. And when we're done, he says, I've heard a lot worse voices. That's what he said to me. And I said, oh. I thought, well, and that might be the end of this, huh? But no, I didn't take no for an answer. I kept going. And eventually the school itself found me my first job in radio. And so I can't say that, boy, they took my money and what
yeah.
did I get? I got my first job in radio because the broadcasting school had a request from a station up kind of your way in Honesdale. And they were looking for people, and they said, you have anybody who might be interested in this job? And they called me, and they said, hey, get a tape, get a resume, send it up here, and you can probably get in for an interview and see what happens. And I said, well, why not?
But see, that's the beauty of this podcast. We learn things. Once there's some broke guy trying to go to the Midwest, you're born.
Yeah.
Now, some guy tells you, or a bunch, that you had a good voice that takes you in another direction.
Yeah.
That direction then leads you to this first radio job.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, it's just weird the way life works.
Isn't it, though?
A poke here, a door there.
Yeah. I just let me say that not to interrupt the direction here, but I'm a big believer of letting the adventure take you instead of you taking the adventure. Go where things lead. I'm a huge fan of that.
Ooh,
you know,
see, folks, there's wisdom coming now.
And I'm certainly not the first person that came up with that.
Oh, I know.
Maybe. But you know, you let the adventure take you. Don't take the adventure. Let the trip take you. Wherever it goes, go with it and see what happens. And unless you can think of some wonderful reason not to, if there's no compelling reason to say no and turn it down, maybe you should go somewhere else. But if... absent that, wherever it goes, it goes.
Life has this momentum. Life has this carrier force.
It does.
Like a river, like you're a tuber in a river.
Yeah.
And it's heading towards the tree. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, but it swirled you to the right of it. And now you end up on some guy's...
There.
Yes.
Yes.
Or you hit the tree, you bust your head open, you go to the hospital room, and the doctor is someone you marry.
Yeah.
Look at her. She
saved
your life.
That's not impossible.
All of these things
go
with your...
That's not impossible. You're right.
So you're doing radio up in Honesdale.
Yeah, I get a job.
What is it, like 1970, 71,
too? This is like 1973.
Okay.
And I get a job at Honesdale. I went up and I interviewed with the guy who was doing the hiring. He was the program director.
I'm 6'7". I'm just trying to put myself into this. So I'm 6'7" years old now. I'm in first, second grade.
Do you remember WCDL?
Yes, Carbondale, of course.
Oh, okay.
Huge.
This was a pretty poor version of WCDL. In fact, CDL had a financial interest in this station at one time. Before I was ever there, they had some connection to. It was WHPA, yeah? Honesdale, Pennsylvania.
Right. But CDL, I grew up just outside
of
Carbondale.
That's why I asked.
CDs were my people.
I thought you'd
know
CDL.
And that was a very popular station.
Yeah, very much so. High atop Melody Mountain.
Yes!
Yeah.
So did it work out in Honesdale, or what happened?
Well, I went to Honesdale, and the station was, it was upstairs over a shoe store. So help me God. It was, I don't know if Lyle's shoe store is still on Main Street in Honesdale, but if it is, we were upstairs over Lyle's shoe store.
Quit work, you pick up some loafers, you're on your way. Why not? But did you get the confidence and think, this is what I want to do?
Well,
look at my
yeah.
voice. I got the golden pipes.
No, I never thought that, but I thought, I love this and I'm going to try it. I never thought, boy, you always, when you were a jock, you always looked to and listened to some of the biggest voices in America. And you thought, good God, how come I can't sound like that? Well, you can't, because the guy who's got those big pipes was blessed with them. You know, it's anatomy. And,
but
you know,
sometimes
there
they're
it
like,
is.
But sometimes they're like over the top, fakey sounding.
Oh, absolutely.
It's better to have a natural voice sometimes.
So that's kind of the direction I went with it, and I hoped it was passable, and it worked out. So I spent 2 years there, and it was I loved Honesdale. It was a great little town in which to live.
So were you commuting every day?
No, I actually got a room. I had a little room.
Get
for
out. A little room up in Honesdale. It's the mid-70s. Vietnam is ending.
Yeah.
You're not drafted. You got a little job. You're using your golden pipes, which aren't so golden.
They're more, not that golden.
They're more like zinc.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Zinc pipes. Right. Lead.
Lead. Oh, lead. Yeah.
But I'm having a ball doing it. You know, it took me a couple of weeks to realize that, I just spent a week doing this and I got paid for it.
Yeah.
They gave me some money to do this. What the hell? What? Because, you know, you were just having so much fun doing it. It was great. You know, you're on the radio every day. You're out in town meeting people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the first person that asks you for your autograph, you're like, no. Yeah, no.
No. Why meaning not you're rude, but why would you want my autograph?
No, not to be rude at all, but like, what?
I still go through that now. Well, I'm like, really?
Yeah,
I'm
just what would you do? Why do you want that? But I wouldn't want my autograph.
No.
But you know, it's eyes opening. Had a lot of fun, met a lot of people, a lot of great people.
And then where do you go from there?
One of which is still a very dear friend of mine. From there, I'm working in Honesdale, not quite 2 years, and I get a phone call from someone you know very well.
Who?
Bob Reynolds.
Sean, are you listening to this? Our very own Bob Reynolds.
Did you think I dozed off?
No, but
I don't blame you if you do.
No, absolutely not.
I'm trying to complete the arc. I mean, we're going on a half hour, so
what?
But, we're doing
because we have so much. We're doing great.
Yeah, we're doing awesome.
Okay,
because I have so much more to do with you. So this, this Bob Reynolds.
Bob Reynolds and I should have mentioned this before, and I didn't. Bob Reynolds and I went to broadcasting school together.
He was at the school you were
at. He was at the school, and Bob was good. I mean, Bob came into that school good. I was a big fan.
He does have newsman-like ways, right?
He did. He was he was excellent. He knew what he was doing. And Bob was a guy who had a job in radio before we finished the course. He got himself a job working at WCNR, which was in Bloomsburg. And so we were all like in awe of Bob because he got a job before we even finished the course. And so Bob and I were good friends for a long time, and I still consider him a friend. I don't see him often enough. I see his wife more often, Paula, because she works.
Paula Degnan, wonderful person.
Well, absolutely. When I work radio, I see because she works there. So Bob calls me one Saturday afternoon and said, hey, you're ready to make a move. And I said, well, what do you got? He's at a station in Williamsport. He said, I thought maybe I'd like to move a little further west and step up a little bit in size. And I said, sure. So I send a tape and a resume over. I'm asking, are you ready for this? I was asking. I probably priced myself out of the
job. Oh, you're giving us a number. I like this. Salary per year or per hour? Here we go.
This is my weekly. I said, well, I really need to have $150 a week.
Isn't that something?
And they couldn't come up with it. And they said, we're sorry, we can't do that. And I said, well, thank you for your time. And I came back within probably a month. They called me and said, you still interested? I said, yeah. They said, we got $150 for you. And so over I went.
So, I'm trying to place that, though. So that's like $7,000-$8,000 a year, I guess. What was average salary per year then? Do you know? This is mid-70s?
Boy, I don't remember, because it was all literally paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, get a paycheck, spend a paycheck, because nobody had any money.
So there's no woman in your life yet? There's no ties to your family? You're like, I can go anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, and I wasn't going that far. I was only going a couple hours away.
Yeah.
And I could come over on weekends, such as they were, you know, to visit family and friends and all, and have a good time and go back and work there. And I love the station.
And this is AM?
This is
because isn't this the time now, if I'm correct, FM is starting to bloom.
Yes.
Rock and roll.
Yes.
It's different. It sounds better.
Things are starting to evolve into FM.
Yeah.
Up until that point in time, FM had been totally neglected.
Yes.
Why? I don't know. But stations that had FM signals just didn't take advantage of them. They did nothing with them.
I know.
They slapped some canned music on them and see around. But now all of a sudden things were starting to turn the corner. In fact,
so these stations you worked at, you're just talking? There's no, you're not spinning.
I'm a disc jockey.
You're a disc jockey.
Oh,
so you're playing what?
You know, pretty much contemporary, yeah, top 40.
Sugar. You're doing all that.
Yeah, doing all that and gabbing up a storm and trying to be funny and amusing at the same time. And
here comes the Archies, everyone. Like, what was your way? Did you
check? Just, you know, try. Well, I started off being kind of a yeller, screamer kind of a guy.
Okay, right.
But then I got
Don't
away from
all.
That, and I said, you know, that's not what I want to do. I'm going to try and back this off and be a little more mature about things. And
coming up next, it's Build Me Up Buttercup by the Foundation.
Here they come. And, you know, I just decided to change myself up a little bit. And what I did was, are you sure I'm not boring you with this stuff?
No, I'm loving it. I can't wait for the Vince said it would be like this part.
WIP in Philadelphia became one of my favorite stations. I used to listen to them all the time. Now, this is back when they were doing music. They're all sports now, or all news, I'm not sure. Back when they were personality, music, and had some great, great talent. And I used to love to listen to them. I said, God, I'd love to work at WIP.
So, while you were in Williamsport, you're thinking about that.
Yeah, so I'm starting now to fashion myself a bit after what the guy said. Not trying to sound like them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sound more like myself and polish that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I feel that's what they're doing.
I love it.
And they were very successful, and some of them were really, really good. And so we tried that out for a while. And never got to IP, obviously.
Right. How long were you in Williamsport?
4 years, and I loved it. I love Williamsport. I should say that. I loved living there. I loved the 4 years I spent there. I had a blast working there, the people I worked for. A lot of good friends.
But now you're in your mid-late 20s, right, I imagine?
Yeah.
And what are you thinking? What next? What am I going
to
do?
I'm looking to get out. I want to move someplace else.
Okay.
I think I've spent enough time here. And let me see, you know, at least test the water. You know, let's pop up a test balloon and see what happens.
Where does that balloon go?
See if I can get some interest out there. I'm in Williamsport. Excuse me, I'm getting comfortable here.
He's moving around. I think it's time for another sip. Do you want me to document? Here we go. No.
Okay. So I'm working with some really great people. I'm working. You probably know Gary Chrisman or are aware of Gary.
I don't think I know that.
Oh, that's too bad. One of the best jocks you'll ever hear in your life.
Where's this at?
Williamsport.
Okay, you're still Williamsport.
He's still there.
Here comes the drink.
He's excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
that?
Gary used to work here years ago, did some stuff for you guys for a good many years. Anyway, I'm looking to get out. I'm sending out tapes and resumes. And I'm getting some nibbles and some pretty good ones. And not landing the job, but I'm getting some interest in some bigger markets like Dallas.
You're still willing to go
Seattle.
Anywhere or do anything?
At that point in time, I'm like, I'll go anywhere. Now, my brother and I were living together. My brother was my best friend along with being my brother. And he still is. I love my brother to death. And so we had both decided, if I hit big on one of these jobs, we'll just pack the car and get the hell out of here, and we'll go.
So like Ernie and Bert, there you are, living together.
You know, not that we didn't like where we were, because we didn't. We liked all the people.
But you thought any moment I could have a big radio job, I'm going to be the next, Who?
In those days, I know, Big Den, you know, you had Imus. Howard Stern was big. Larry Lujack
Wolfman
was
Wolfman Jack? You're the, no, it's too
old. Nah, Wolfman, okay. I never got that routine at all.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That just didn't do it for me.
I can't wait to hear when TV comes in.
Okay. So anyway, I'm wanting to get out. I'll make this very quick then. And unexpectedly, my father dies. And prior to that, I had sent a tape and resume maybe a month prior to my dad's death to Susquehanna Broadcasting, which was headquartered in York. At that time, they owned Warm, Magic,
okay,
and about 20 other stations across the country. They were in some big markets, too. They were in San Francisco, Dallas, Houston.
And media conglomerates were pretty rare then.
Yeah,
thought,
and
right?
They were one, and they were good size.
Yeah.
And they owned Warm here, which was their flagship station, which had been the most successful station in northeastern Pennsylvania.
I know Warm very well.
I get a call one day from George Gilbert, who is like the what would I call him? He's not the general manager, assistant general manager, I guess. And George says, "Hey, I got a job. Are you interested?" And I said, "Oh yeah." And so I came over, interviewed, blah blah blah. Next thing you know,
you got this job.
I'm over here.
And where is this?
Warm.
But where? So it's Scranton, Wilkes-Barre.
Well, it was right here off the inter, right in Avoca.
Oh, it was.
Warm.
Oh.
The Warm building still stands there.
So this
I don't know what's in there now.
AM Warm.
Yeah.
You're playing Top 40 again. You're talking in between.
Yep.
And you've
got
you going with your name the whole time? I forgot.
Yeah,
to ask
I never changed my name. I'm still me.
All right. So
all
you're Vince Sweeney,
yeah.
And here comes a little Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And 2020 sports straight ahead.
Ah.
You know, that kind of thing. First news first.
And you're doing this for years. You fall in love. You're married.
Yeah, that was number one.
Which I forgot the order I said.
Well, no, that was marriage.
Meet a girl. One. Fall in love.
That was my first wife.
Okay.
I don't know how far you want to go.
No, see, we can go for hours, man.
So I end up working there, and I have my moments where I'm very happy. I had other moments where I'm not. I didn't like the company especially.
Late 70s, are we near 80 yet?
Yeah, we're around in there. And okay. I'm working for a company that I just don't believe treats its employees properly.
All right.
They could treat them better. And so I wanted to go.
30 years old, maybe?
Yeah, 32. And so I'm starting to look around, and I'm getting tapes, and I'm getting more nibbles in different places. And there were a couple of them I came close to getting, like there was one in Memphis. I would have taken the job had
they
offered.
So you're still willing to go anywhere?
Yeah, I was, pretty much. I said, you know, I'm going to have to do something to move on. You can't sit still and think you're going to get anywhere in the business. You've got to be able to go somewhere. So all of a sudden... all of a sudden, it was a day like any other, only different. And over there across the lake, a small house, comfortable, small, it fit like an old glove. I have a couple of friends of mine who work at BRE.
Beep, beep, beep. The bulb is brightening.
Yeah.
Illumination. The sky
Look,
is opening.
It's happening. I had a couple of friends at BRE, and every time the weekend weather job came available, which was rather frequently it would, they would get a hold of me and they'd say, would you get your butt down here and, you know, audition for the job? Because they were an AccuWeather.
This is where my
customer.
Interest now explodes.
Okay. They were
the guy that you were filling in for or replacing? Would I know
woman.
That name?
Ann Lilly was her
okay,
name.
Okay, don't know that.
I don't know whatever became Ann. Lovely woman. She was their weekend weather person, and she was leaving, and they wanted someone to replace her. I went down, did a cattle call. They had probably a half dozen at least of us go through an audition, and I knew when I finished the audition, I was confident that, you know, I'd done well.
May I ask what you did? You stand in front of maps.
Yeah, they put me in front of a wall, in front of a chroma key, and they popped up some maps and said...
And you felt comfortable.
And they
that.
Said, go!
No, but you felt comfortable, the chroma key.
Yeah, believe it or not, I did.
Get the bell ready.
Yes.
Because and I know this was a different time.
Yes, it was.
But we call a lot of you guys imposters. And I am not trying to offend you in any way. but with our deep science background, and here you guys come with no science background.
That's right.
And you're trying to, it's almost like if you go to see a doctor, you got a bad cough, broken leg, and they bring in someone who has no medical background, and they're telling you what's going
on. You see a physician's assistant, and that's exactly what happens nowadays, right?
I guess.
No, I understand what you're saying, but that was not at the time.
Right.
That wasn't so much the practice.
No, it wasn't.
And it wasn't with BRE.
And many stations.
And a lot of stations in Philly.
They wanted a presenter, not a scientist.
And in New York, they wanted someone who could get the information to people in a timely fashion, understandably, interestingly, who was well-spoken and a friendly face and someone they trusted. And that's what they were using. AccuWeather had, I think, WABC in New York at the time.
Clients all over, huge.
They had Philadelphia, a lot of TV clients, and BRE was an AccuWeather client.
And right here at WNEP, we had Jay Christopher doing our forecast. He had no science background. This was the way then. I understand
that. It was. And
Did you have an interest in weather, passion?
Not a passion,
nothing.
An interest, but interest, not exactly a passion. I wanted to get a job in TV. And I didn't care what it was. I just thought, it's time to make a move here. And I'm, you know, I'm getting old. And I'm now
30, right?
I'm not now. By now, I'm about 35. And I'm thinking, I really would like maybe to make that move to television.
Married kids?
If I can. No, I was unmarried then. No kids. I was married and divorced.
Williamsport years?
No, I was at Warm at this point in time.
No, when you got married and everything, that was Williamsport.
No, that was early Warm years.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So what's it like on TV weekends? What was it like in the 70s doing this?
I loved
80-ish
it.
Maybe even, right?
Now it was more like mid-80s.
I was going to say.
I loved it. It was great. I thought, well, let's see what I can do with this. They offered me the job. I had enough confidence to think I could pull it off. Not that I was cocky or anything. But I thought, I can get out there in front of that camera, and I can actually, as we say in the biz, make love to the camera. I mean, and that's not a bad thing.
No, I know.
It's like to come across, you know, warm, friendly, and I think of myself as being typically somewhat warm and friendly.
Yeah, and fun.
So it wasn't
comical.
I got to go out there and phony it up.
Yeah.
I just went out and was myself.
But were you just weekends? What else were you
weekends,
doing for the old cash?
I was working. Quickly tell you that once I got the weekend job at BRE, Warm fired me. Now, that was a tradition of theirs. I was the third person from Warm who had gone to BRE, and shortly after they did, they got fired. They went part-time.
I guess you can see that, though, right? I don't
know. Well, you know, they'd give you a big slap on the back and say, geez, we're proud of you, man. That's great. You're doing us good. And then a couple of weeks later, you're done. Get out.
Because, like, a conflict of media advertising?
I think not so much that. I think what it was is they knew your focus had shifted.
Oh, I see.
And you probably didn't give about radio. You didn't want to do that anymore, so you were more interested in TV.
So how long then the weekend popularity builds up, and now you're the new main man?
That was about a year.
Just a year?
Yeah.
Who was the main guy that you replaced? Would I know that name? Uh-oh, he's looking up. Uh-oh, you going to hit the bell?
No, we can talk about it. Mark Hiller was doing weekend nights.
Mark Hiller was doing?
Bless him. Yeah, and he's still there after all these years.
He was strong. He was the weather guy.
He was doing
weekend. Why don't I remember
night?
That? Yeah.
I don't know. He was
You're saying weekday nights, correct? He was the main 6 p.m.
He was the evening weather guy.
And I
Mark
think also
Hiller.
No background in science. He's a broadcaster.
No, a very bright guy.
I know he is.
Very personable, likable, sweetheart of a guy. Did a good job delivering. And he got the job. And what happened was somewhere a year later, they decided to move me to nights and put him on a different schedule, weekend weather, and 3 days a week as their education reporter. So all of a sudden, here I am. I'm doing Monday through Friday.
So here's this guy. He's funny. He's comical. He's warm. He's friendly. Everyone loves him. He's like the guy next door. It's
Who's
you.
That?
That's
oh,
you,
me.
Man.
Oh, all right.
And now the new main weather guy. Popularity builds. Before you know it, they're having Vince, when I go places today, when did you leave BRE? When did you leave?
I have been gone from BRE 2006.
Okay, so that's almost 15 years ago. Still today, I'm at Turkey Hill. I'm at Wegmans. I'm at some store in Bloomsburg. Hey, Vince said it would be like this. I still have to hear that.
I'm sorry. I am sorry.
They're telling me that now.
But the dangdest thing is, the last time that a Vince said promo ran on BRE,
when? I got to hear this.
Was like 2000.
So this is 20 years ago.
20 years since they ran a promo. So for the last 6 years, they didn't promote it because the news director was looking to replace me with somebody else on nights, and I guess they didn't want to promote someone who wasn't going to be there.
And I think that's when having meteorologists kind of go in that direction. Maybe, I don't know. That's
no,
the way.
It's that's a long story.
Okay, we won't get into that.
Wait a minute. Hold it. We can touch on it, but I don't want to get.
You think it's okay? Other, yeah. But. So is that when you were peaking? I'm talking in your weather popularity. Okay. Vince said it would be like this. Commercials. I think you were dancing on the commercial and everything. Everyone was saying that. I mean that you're on top of things. It's the '90s now.
Yeah, it was a hell of a ride. I got to tell you, I say this with all the humility I can muster. I never understood my popularity. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Is that right?
Why do these people like me? I'm glad they do, but why do they like me? You know, and it kind of came along with the job, and I tried to live up to what people's expectations were. So if you bumped into me and you bumped into me at Price Chopper and said something, I'd stop and chat with you for a minute or two. I didn't come across, blow people off and like, and it worked out really well. People liked me. I couldn't understand it. And I still to this day don't, but I'm very grateful for it.
When I got your post on my Facebook page and I asked for comments, that's what everyone's saying to me. Oh, what a nice guy. I met him here and he said this and he helped me out here.
Well, I try to do that.
So that's the key, I think, to you. You were likable. You weren't arrogant. You weren't higher than miney. You were just this,
I try to
this
be,
cool, fun guy doing the forecast.
I could see no reason at all why someone would get a big head going and try to be just like, oh, look at me. Do you know who I am? I mean, I could never understand that thinking. Oh. It made no sense to me whatsoever. And I did.
That's
sorry
why
about
I love
that.
You, man. Is that your phone going off?
Yeah,
that's it. We have
I'm
a policy
sorry.
Here. When the phone goes off, you have to read the message to us.
I don't know what that says.
No, I'm just kidding. Unless it's real personal.
Okay. My wife wants to know if I have any photos
of, what?
Of this.
Oh, well, we're going to take them shortly. Yeah. No, that's excellent, though.
So I was just thrilled that people liked me. I didn't understand it. I thought it was great, and it was reinforced many times. They would do research projects, and I would test like extremely well. And surprising. I mean, I just didn't understand it. I mean, I thought maybe I could be okay.
Isn't that great?
But
though, Sean,
I didn't think anybody's
guy right there. Humility.
Well, yeah, and it's genuine. I mean, I'm not like that.
I know you're not. That's why you're sitting here with me now.
Thank you, Joe.
But I wanted to ask you these two things.
Sure.
Maybe this is bring up one of these things. Now, as a meteorology and science guy, when I was growing up in the 80s, going to college, coming back home, visiting, and then I was a science teacher in the 90s too.
Right.
You were my favorite weather guy.
Well, aren't you sweet? Thank you.
Even though I kind of knew that you didn't have the science background, what I liked about you, and also another one is Willard Scott.
Yeah.
National. I'm like, these guys get it. There's no unnecessary drama. There's no arrogance.
Right.
There's no, I'm the smartest guy in the room attitude. So I kind of, in a way, modeled myself after you guys like you.
That is extremely flattering. Yeah, Willard was another guy who had no science background.
I know, but what a great approach.
And America loved him to
death.
And I don't know if I ever fashioned myself after him or that type of a person. But, it gets right back to me, the key to success is be who you are.
Yeah.
Be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Just be true to yourself and act like you would all the time. And if that's not good enough for your audience, they'll let you know fast enough. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know.
They won't like you.
I'm following your words. So, except if you're creepy, then don't be yourself.
No. If you're creepy, you probably shouldn't be there in the first. If you're creepy, you probably would have blown one of your toes off prior to that.
That's right.
And done something really stupid. So,
was the cash really good then? Or am I getting too...
No, I'll tell you, it wasn't as good as it should have been. I won't hesitate to say that. Over time, it improved.
Mm-hmm.
It improved, I do believe, because they realized that I was making them money. That, you know, people were watching us for weather. They were maybe not watching the entire newscast, but they were watching us for weather. I think they realized I was bringing money in, so the money came up a little at a time. And it was okay. You know, probably could have been better.
Right. But you made a good living. Your name was all over the place.
Made a decent living.
You were getting forced to the front of the line during oil changes at the garage. I still get that now.
That does happen.
Yeah,
I know. You know what that's like.
And we only have about 5 minutes left. I'm hoping
if
we can.
You've got to be kidding me.
I know we've been doing this for an hour, 45.
Don't rush it, Joe.
Oh, I won't. Well, but I guess what I want now is the, and I don't know if it's the bell's going to come in. But,
okay.
But is it a rough end when things change and they let you go and then how you got to where you are now? A semi-retired.
Yeah, it is. It can be very.
Like, how does that happen? How does the crumbling begin?
Well, the crumbling began for me, I think, when they took me off nights and put me on mornings. And
mid 2003, 4, 5, maybe
somewhere in there. Yeah,
because I remember we were doing the same gig.
That's where the crumbling started.
But why? What's wrong with that?
Oh, it's not that it's a bad shift, but it was a show that at the time there were very few resources invested in the show, and we were doing very well at night. Numbers at night were excellent, and I tried to figure out why would they want to do this?
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you know why? Okay.
Hey, maybe we'll do this again and we can explore
that. But there were reasons that go beyond the scope of this interview, I guess.
Yeah,
so whatever.
They do. And so it was very difficult because you go from being, you know, Vince Sweeney in capital letters to Vince Sweeney in small letters, you know.
Yes.
But it was all right. There's nothing wrong with being humbled.
Right.
Not humiliated, but humbled. And nothing wrong with that at all. And it led me to some great things. I mean, I got to work with the SPCA.
But wait, you're in your 50s then when this happened?
Yeah. I was like 55 or so when this happened.
And was that... Do you think that was a part of it? Like, we don't... or no? Like, let's get a younger guy or not? I don't...
It may have been one of the factors. It might have been.
Okay.
But my opinion of it all was you don't mess with success.
Right.
You know, if it ain't broke, you know how that goes. And we were doing very well at night with weather. And so
when did the
long
morning,
time ago, it's over.
How long did the morning thing last?
I did that for about four and a half years.
And then when did that end? And did you end that?
Nope, they fired me.
They fired you.
20 years. Called me in and said, I don't know, it wasn't a very pleasant situation. Because I kept confronting the general manager and saying, why? Why? He wouldn't give me an answer.
So leading to that day, did you sense something or no?
No.
You did not?
Blindsided me.
Total surprise.
Shocked.
One day you get called in.
Yeah. Got called in after 20 years. 20 years and the Christmas before, 6 months prior to my getting fired, I had been given the gold clock for 20 years of service to the company.
Isn't that something?
And then... Now, I was out of that, and by the next day, seriously, literally the next day, the SPCA called me and asked me if I'd like to come work for them.
They had heard about this?
Made the papers. It was out there. You know, made a few headlines here and there. I'd been there so long. You know.
But,
and I went and met with them, and I said, you know what? This is a good opportunity to do something that's really worthwhile. And, you know, I get paid for it. I wasn't doing it for free. I want that make that clear.
And
I
your mean, title was?
Executive director.
Executive director. Sit in a big room and make decisions.
Yes, and do a lot of hustling.
Yeah.
Do a lot of fundraising, marketing, promotion, PR, appearances. strategies. We did a lot of that in developing, and we did okay. And I thoroughly enjoyed that for quite some time. And it was, like I said, an opportunity to do something worthwhile.
Yeah.
You know, and help, because I've always had an interest in animal causes and animal sheltering and welfare. So here again, you know, don't take the trip. Let the trip take you. I'm going along in my life. This pops up. Okay. I see it. I get it. And here I am.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, though. But if you, to go with my inner tube analogy, and that inner tube, you're floating down a river and it hits
like
this.
Like Fanny and the Susquehanny. We never got to talk about that.
So your Fanny's in the Susquehanny.
Yes.
And you hit this log or this rock.
Okay.
And that would be the firing. And then you go in a different direction.
Yeah.
But if you could, you're going down the stream. If that rock were removed and you were still there doing that, is there a part of you that would want that?
No.
You don't? You can look back and say you're glad that happened?
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
Under the circumstances and the way that it did happen and the state of affairs at the time with the job, I was not the least bit upset that I was fired.
Oh, you weren't? You didn't drive home that day crying or anything?
No, I drove home feeling pretty damn good about things.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It happened. I never saw it coming. I still don't know why. They wouldn't tell me. They never did. But I took, they were kind enough to offer me some severance.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it and I left. And that was the end of that.
And the SPCA picked right up after. How long were you there?
The next day. I was there almost 5 years. And then I kind of retired. And then I started doing some work for Griffin Pond Animal Shelter. And then after that, what else did I do? I worked at Boscov's.
You worked at Boscov's?
I did work at Boscov's, and I loved every minute of it.
But wait now. This is your 60 maybe at the time? I don't know.
Yeah, let's say 63, 64.
So you're working at Boscov's.
So I'm looking for something to do. I'm retired, and I'm getting bored sometimes. And I'm getting bored a lot. I'm tired of sitting around doing nothing all the time. It has its moments, don't get me wrong.
Right.
It's nice to know, hey, tomorrow's Monday, and I don't have to get my butt out of bed to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I applied for a job at Boscov's. I knew their human resources director. And he said, I would never have thought you'd want to work here. And I said, well, I don't know, part-time? He said, sure. So they gave me a part-time job.
And where? What department?
I worked in menswear. I worked in small appliances. As seen on TV, I worked there.
Are Whirlpool and GE really the best appliances? Or washers, dryers?
They had stopped selling appliances by the time
I went
to work there, so I don't know.
But this goes with your honest approach that you're a humble guy, because a lot of folks would say they would have a hard time being a local TV celebrity to then even applying at Boscov's. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There were some people that did say that. What are you doing here?
Yeah, but not you. That says a lot about your personality.
Well, why wouldn't I be here?
Yeah, that says it all right there.
Well, I'm too good to work here? Hardly.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I can't say enough good things about working there and the people I met. I worked with some of the nicest people I have ever known. And I can tell you that flat out. I don't want to mention names because I might miss somebody.
Right.
But they were some of the nicest people. I loved working with them. I miss them. And it was fun. I'd go to work, and I'd wait on customers.
And you loved it.
And I loved it. I truly, truly did. I mean, it worked, and it worked well. And
well, as a guy 17 years older than me, Sean here is younger than me even. Retirement, is it? Do we want to salivate after this thing?
No, don't do that. I mean,
what's it all about? I mean, the only thing worse than working is not working, they say. What's the answer?
And I agree with that.
What's the answer to it all?
The answer to it all goes back a ways. And I think, if you go back to the beginning of our conversation,
right?
I think the answer is find something you love to do. And do it. And you will not be in, we won't have any burning desire to retire. You might say, it'll be nice when I can maybe semi-retire and not have to get up every morning. But do something you love and you will lead a much much happier life.
Even if the money's not there, right?
Even if the money's
not there. Don't let that guide you.
No. I never chased money. Money, sure, it's important, you know, but I never chased money. I didn't want to chase money. I wanted to do things that I liked to do and be good enough to get paid for them. And that's what I did. And a quick story here. I don't know what kind of time we have.
Any minute now, we'll just wrap it up.
Okay.
I don't like it.
I'll give you a quick story. My Uncle Jack, who was my godfather, sweet guy, great guy.
Okay.
My father's younger brother. I used to spend a lot of time with him. I would help him with different things. And I recall out being with him one weekend. We were doing some work. He had a cottage at Lake Ariel, and we were closing it up for the season. And he told me a story. And his story essentially was this. When he was like 15 or 16 years old, all he ever wanted to do was get a part-time job as a bag boy or box boy at the A&P. He said this was like he had to have that job.
I mean, that's pretty low on the fantasy
list.
Well,
he was in high school,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, okay, right.
He was working in high school, and he wanted a part-time job as a bag boy, box boy, whatever, at the A&P. And finally, he got the job, and he hated it. He worked there for about a week and said, I don't like this at all. So he quit. And the moral of the story, which he did verbalize, was don't stay in a job you hate. Whatever it is, find something else or bust your, what would be the word he would have used?
Heine.
Okay, we'll go with that. To find a job you like. Don't stay in a job you hate because it'll make you miserable. And if you're miserable, everybody around you is going to be miserable. So I've lived my life by Uncle Jack's advice. And he was a good guy. And he went through life doing a lot of crazy things. He owned a business. He owned the Scranton Hobby Center for years.
No, but Vince, that's great advice.
I think it's wonderful advice. It might take a little work on your part to be able to pull it off. But try it. See if you can do it, you know, instead of taking a job that you really don't like, just so you can make a lot of money.
On a similar line, my buddy always used to say this. There's a dentist and there's a ski operator. Both of them love to ski.
Okay.
So the ski operator did that for a living. But guess what he got to do his whole life? He was paid crappy.
Yeah.
But he got to ski all day, every day,
yeah,
for his entire life.
He was
in the mountains.
Out on the slope in the snow.
And there was the dentist who loved to ski too, but making the good money.
But spent a small time in people's mouths.
Yeah, but never had time to ski because he was so invested in his career making the money. And when he did get the time to ski, he would have to travel out west, and it would be a week-long vacation once a year. So who's happier in that
scenario? Yeah, I could,
the guy making the big money, just barely skiing 5 days a year, or the guy doing it every day, living his fantasy, skiing and making less money. That goes along with your story.
I agree with you completely. I have friends of mine, and I'll keep this quick, who are the husband and wife team, who were extraordinarily good fly fishers. And they used to have a shop, a fly fishing shop,
right,
which they sold maybe 15 or more years ago. And they now spend their time guiding tours all around the world to fly fish. I think they're in Spain right now. And I mean, this is what they do, and they're loving every minute of it. They put these tours together, and they go to these exotic places where there are huge trout in gorgeous surroundings. And that's what they do for a living.
And that little guy who was leaving the University of Scranton, who wanted to do radio, took this course. Look where it took you, that ride. You had
it's
a great ride.
Man. I'm happy.
You know, the odd part is you're sitting in a broadcasting facility with cans on your ears in front of equipment.
Back to where I started from.
Boom!
Full circle, baby.
Full circle, baby.
Everything goes full circle. Doesn't
Vince,
it, though?
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, Joe.
I want you to have a good retirement.
Well, you know, I keep busy doing the radio thing on occasion, so that keeps
me happy. Semi-retirement.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'll be listening to you on WILK.
That's
where we interact still.
Well, that'd be cool. I hope we hook up someday.
And now we're closer.
There. Yeah.
And the next time you're iced in your driveway and you can't do this, I'm going to helicopter in and be dropped right on
you. That'd be cool, man. Can you get me out? Never mind, can you get me out? Sean, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
For tolerating this, and it was wonderful.
We're out.
I appreciate it.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.